cut.
Yeah, if you don't, you gotta turn your microphones on.
If you want to record, make sure to turn your mic on. Remember, if you guys don't have.
First of all, welcome to this AP Rallo monthly call for November. We have a number of people here. We have some people online. What I'd like to do first is go around the room. So could people please identify themselves and the organization they're with? And I'm starting on my left, if you will. Hong?
Okay, I'm Hong Xue from the Chinese Domain Names Users Alliance.
I'm Don Hollander from the Pacific Internet Partners.
I'm Raf Fatani. I'm the NOMCOM selectee for the AP ALAC.
Welcome, Raf. To continue.
Good morning. I'm Salinietta Tamani Kawamuro, outgoing ALAC member and your representative to the ALAC. So.
I'm Silvia Vivanco, ICANN staff.
Siranosh Vardanyan, AP Rallo vice chair.
Holly Raish, AP Rallo chair.
Julia Chauvelin, ICANN staff.
Susie Johnson, ICANN staff.
Ellen Strickland, Internet New Zealand.
Maureen Hilliard.
ELECT.
Garth Bruin, Neurology Chair.
Heidi Ulrich, ICANN staff.
Edmund Chung, ISOC Hong Kong.
Jerome, ICANN staff.
Cao Huaping from Internet Society of China.
Ali Al-Mishal, Bahrain ISOC and ALS.
Thank you, everybody. The first item on the agenda is the spotlight for today, which is Sirnush. Are we ready to go ahead with our
PowerPoint? No, first PowerPoint. PowerPoint.
So hello everyone again, Siranush Vardanyan for the record. Today I will do a brief presentation of the organization which I represent. This is Armenian Association for the Disabled Punic. Punic in Armenian, it's in translation into English, it means phoenix, the bird. So this is some kind of symbol of coming to life. And this organization was established in 1989 after the devastating earthquake in Armenia, which is called Spitak earthquake, where we had officially 25,000 dead and more than 500,000 homeless people. So you can imagine for the country with 3 million population, what does it mean? And how many disabled after that we had in our country, and what kind of huge problem we started to have with those people there. And we, this is organization was established right because of that purpose, to help those people to come to revival, to survive after that tragedy. So it was registered as an official organization in 1990, and we have more than 70 volunteers working in that organization and about 20 staff people, members providing year-round services. The organization is supported by many, many international organizations, local organizations, because you can imagine that solely one organization cannot deal with all these difficult issues. And the major gift which was given by the government of Armenia was the building where now the organization is working. So we'll see this building in the video, which we are going to see in a couple of minutes. But the building is still half renovated, so it's huge, and we are in the process of finding different sponsors and rebuild one by one each room. So the mission of the organization is the integration of the disabled into society through their physical, social, psychological rehabilitation, protection of their rights, assistance to their health and education issues, creation of income-generating business for them, and development of national sports for disabled. There are several goals which we put as our major ones. This is promote physical, social, and psychological rehabilitation of disabilities, of disabled people, utilize sports to develop strong bodies and active minds, develop skills to meet challenges of life for the disabled, disabled right protection, which is one of the important issues, public education through dissemination of information on the issues of disability, because many people don't know about their issues and the problems of integration of these people into the community, prosthetic services, and income-generating businesses for disabled. The organization is providing clothing, food, and medical devices for people with disabilities, advocate for the social and educational needs, and there are several social projects in disaster zone. This is the zone where which is the epicenter of the earthquake, actually, which covers almost the half of the Armenian territory. I will not go through the all projects we currently implement, but I will mention a couple of key ones. That since 1989, we organized 24 summer and winter camps for kids with disabilities, and we have huge support of the government, namely the president of Armenia, and the former and the current, they continue supporting this organization and for organizing summer and winter sports. Sports include swimming, sailing, weightlifting, archery, wheelchair basketball, table tennis, alpine skiing, and sailing. So members of our organization participate in year-round athletic training. They are participating in World, European, and Open Championships. In 1994, it was organized the first Armenian Disabled Olympics. And members of our organization are participating in different international sport events. There on the PowerPoint, you see some pictures of national championships and international championships. Our members participated in Summer and Winter Paralympic Games in Atlanta 96, Sydney 2000, Salt Lake City 2002, Athens 2004, Torino 2006, Beijing 2008, Vancouver 2010, and London 2020. And now we are planning to send a group to Sochi, to Russia, to another Paralympic game. So we maybe do not have first medals there, but in Torino, if I'm not mistaken, we got the fourth place. So actually, this is really a good. It's not the issue of being the winner, because we consider that by participating, they are already the winners. I personally also participate in annual marathons from Yerevan to Echmiadzin. This is the holy center where on 21st of September, this is the Independence Day in the country, group of wheelchair people together with us volunteers are going to Echmiadzin to Oli Center. This is 20 kilometers. We stop twice on the way, and the Catholicos of all Armenians is always going outside and greet those kids there. So this is some kind of encouraging and full fun. I really enjoy going there because working with those people, you yourself feel very
uplifted.
Yeah, uplifted. Thank you. So there are. We will see on the video that there are some opportunities which we are trying to create for business purposes. Like last year, we collaborated with the one of the official operators in Armenia, and out of that collaboration, 14 people, disabled people, were hired by that organization to work there. And we also are in a very good partnership with the Ministry of MCS. Emergency situation. Ministry of Emergency Situations. And we also have 10 to 20 people currently working there. We have a lot of organizations who are supporting us with wheelchairs, and we even provided not only to the disabilities who are the part of the organization, but we announced through the country that there is an opportunity for adult people who have no other possibilities to move to come and take wheelchair for their own purposes. But the issue is that the country itself is not ready for disabled to go outside of their homes. It's very difficult. Even the building which we have, it's almost a kilometer from the main bus station, and we have a small bus or the car of the owner who knows that there is a training there. He goes to the bus station and bring those kids there. The kids themselves make the pandas, the way to the building for themselves. But you can imagine that all over the country, buses, public transportation, other public offices, cinemas, they are not applicable for those people to fully integrate into this community. So we have vocational training. We organized also computer training. We have computer training for disabilities, but this is actually a very small computer center. We have a huge room, but we have only three computers there. So, and we had even the problem with the teacher who could come and teach those kids, I mean, without any salary. But now we solved that issue. We have a volunteer who is coming there. But you can imagine three computers and so many disabilities. So even the technically, this this center is not fully equipped, but this is the starting part. So I think that and this center was funded by Canadian Embassy in Moscow, by the way. Bro. We have also silk screening training established in 2000. We have handmade cards, which started in 2002, and kids are preparing themselves those cards, and we are selling those cards for different holidays, etc. And there is also art and craft training center. Children and young adults are taught to paint wood carving and ceramic work. And we also are trying to sell some of them during different expos, etc. Next slide, please. Just, yeah.
5 minutes, 4 minutes.
Okay, here we are now. Please, if we can see the video. It's 5 minutes video about the history. It's old one, probably a couple of years old, and maybe the quality will not be so much good, but I hope that it will give at least a visual idea.
chaos, complete devastation. Schools, homes, factories crashed to the ground.
Can we close the
curtains?
Sorry.
Families ripped apart.
Oi, sorry.
The cries of children crushed beneath the rubble emptied the lives of who remained.
December 7, 1980, earthquake in Armenia. Complete devastation. Schools, homes, factories crashed to the ground. In 2 minutes, families ripped apart. All hope gone. The cries of children crushed beneath the rubble emptied the lives of those who remained.
Madam Chair, rather than deal with the technology, perhaps we could have a link to the video. We can watch it in our own time. And then, because that would give us a few minutes for questions.
I think, and we don't have time as well. We've got a number of things to get through. So we've only got time for really a couple of questions. Sorry. And I think maybe we can we put the video on the website at all? Yeah, okay, look, we can post it. So if there are any questions, just a couple, we don't have a lot of time. And by the way, before we do that, Amani and Satish and Len, could you please identify yourself for the transcript records?
Leana Galustian, ISOC Armenia.
Thank you. Imani?
Satish Babu from the Computer Society of India.
Thank you.
Imani Fahous Manavalui, and I'm from Internet New Airlines.
Thank you. Any questions?
So, my name is Don Hollander from lots of different hats, but I'll put a Pacific Internet Partners hat on. And we see similar programs happening in the Pacific. Our focus in PIP is to leverage ICT use ICT as a catalyst for prosperity. And what I heard from you was that there was part of your program was ICT focused, only a small part, and that seems to be very under-resourced. So I would just like to suggest that you engage with some community groups such as Rotary or Kiwanis or Lions. I know that in the developed world, they are forever trying to find things to do. And it could give you an opportunity not only to get computers, but ideally get some of your students to learn how to fix and repair computers. Depends on the type and level of disabilities. And then that would give them a career opportunity. And I would also point you to the digital divide data, or digital divide data, DDD, based in Cambodia, where they have been working with war victims for well more than 10 years by providing these war victims with education and work concurrently. So it's a world-class program, DDD. And I encourage you to look at that and use that as a model.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Gunala.
Yes, this is Julia speaking for the record. Her question is, I know that Armenia has signed and ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which is excellent. Have you found that this helps to work with the government to improve accessibility to buildings and transport? And hopefully when funds permit to help people get training in the internet, I realize that there has been some ISOC community grant funding.
Thank you, Gunella, for your question. Yeah, the Gunella.
Gunella.
Okay. Sorry for pronunciation. We are trying to learn your name to spell correctly, Gunella, here. So, yes, you are right. ISOC Armenia recently implemented one project for deaf and blind kids, and there is a center established due to the this grant program. So there are a couple of other projects, similar projects also are being implemented in the country. We signed that convention as well, coming back to the first part of your question. But it's really very difficult all over the country to have all these facilities ready for people with disabilities to use it. It should be a nationwide project program which is not on place. So this is one of the key and major issues our disabilities have in the country. For the organization itself, we try to make it in a proper way for them to have access. But usually people cannot even go outside of their home because there are stairs. It's very difficult. They can do that only if there is someone who can support them. I think that signing this agreement or memorandum may help in future, but this is not the case now for the country.
I think we've got a hard stop there. Satish, we're going to have to take this offline. There are a couple of things that we really have to get through at 8:30, Paul Wilson is going to be here. Paul Wilson's the CEO of APNIC, and he'll be talking about the MOU that we're about to sign, and the hard copy's been passed out to everyone. Before that, though, Maureen wants to have, you wanted to have a couple of words about metrics. If we can talk about metrics first before Paul gets here.
That'll be fine. Maureen Hilliard, for the record. You're all aware, of course, that I'm on the metrics group with a host of other people. We're actually looking at apparently the task of the working group is to look at metrics for ALAC, for ALSs, and for RALOs eventually. So we're looking at ALAC first, and we're looking at probably looking at ALSs and assessing the representative that they choose for their RALO on the ALAC. So, hello, moi. What we're actually looking at is what metrics, what measurements, what performance assessments do you think are appropriate to assess whether your ALAC representative is actually delivering? Although we're sort of like, you know, at the moment we're just looking at the basic sort of like measurements, and it's like numbers, it's a numbers oriented thing. We were looking at attendance, we're looking at, you know, meeting participation and that sort of thing. So, and voting and something else. But what we're sort of saying is, like, how does that actually evaluate the value that person brings to the role of your ALAC representative. So what we're actually trying to get from people is sort of like, what do you think is appropriate to be assessed, and how do you think it would be appropriate to be assessed? I mean, I've actually spoken to NARALO, I've spoken to LACRALO, and I've actually already gotten some really interesting comments. You know, that numbers aren't the only way to measure, that we could be looking at, you know, like the benchmarking, being more task-oriented in our assessments, looking at, say, for example, working groups. It's not just the fact that you turn up to a working group online meeting, you know, you're connected onto the Adobe, but you don't perhaps, you know, there are some people who don't, they're connected, but they don't participate in any way. But what we're looking at is probably looking at what are the objectives of the working group and are those achieved, and how has that person contributed to the achievement of that of those objectives. So being task-oriented is a really good way of actually like assessing value. Those sorts of things we need to be able to take on board and address, but also we have to look at what kind of tool do we use that we're not going overboard in the actual way in which we assess, because it can be really quite onerous to actually have an assessment tool that's going to have somebody ticking boxes or writing comments every time you participate. Who's going to keep track of the, you know, hundreds of people who actually volunteers as well, hundreds of volunteers who actually go on to working groups and attend meetings and come along to meetings like this or online meetings. So, but we need to, and I'd really like you all to be thinking about it. If you can all like flick me a comment, we will, you know, I'll summarise those comments, put them on the wiki, and they'll be available for you to help. I'll be looking to see who actually comments, Don. Yes, but the only thing is, we're looking at, you know, like, I mean, for you know, I can, and I expect that people from AP Ralo will be checking, you know, like, I mean, not checking, but just sort of like doing an overview every so often about, you know, like the people that you're actually electing into a particular position, or that you see people are actually nominating themselves for positions. And in fact, you know, we have lots of working groups where, say, we need volunteers for a particular working group and everybody volunteers, and then we hold an online meeting and there might be three or four people who turn up. And not that just that they're like that they're the only ones that turn up, but there are others who may perhaps give their apologies because they can't attend a particular meeting. But at the same time, you know, there are lots of people who nominate themselves for positions and never actually do participate. So, you know, it's. But at this particular point in time, we're after feedback. So if you can give us some hints on what to measure, how to measure, and if there are any particular tools that you're aware of that might be helpful to us. Thank you.
First to say, this is Holly Reich for the Transcript Records. Thank you, Maureen. Sylvia, could we just circulate again a link to the wiki for comments for metrics? There's some comments already, but I don't think I saw any from AP Ralo.
You did.
I did, yeah, but that's that's only me. I think the next thing that we're waiting for Paul is just a quick look at the policy page. I hope you all look at the policy page. You do get email reminders as to what's there. The policy page, by the way, if you go to the website and then go to ALAC and then go to the policy page, the things that were particularly important for those of you who attended yesterday, we actually met with the ATRT2, which is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. We had a briefing with them, and there were a lot of comments made. But as it was pointed out yesterday, the drop-dead deadline for comments to Rinalia are either today or tomorrow. We need those comments as soon as possible because the 21st is the drop-dead deadline, and we need to incorporate all of the comments that were made. So if you attended and you'd like to make a point, or if you didn't attend, please read that review and have a look. The other outstanding issues that are open for comment, aside from the ICANN's draft vision and mission, we have got the CCNSO FOI working interim report on revocation, and this is very near and dear to Cheryl's heart, and she might say a couple of words I won't let you right now, though, sorry. I'm just going to go through the list, and then I will ask why you get organized. There's also open, there's a comment on the at-large thick WHOES policy development process. There's a very brief comment. We're simply saying we've said for a very long time we like Thich Huynh is, and we're saying it again. There are also for comment proposed bylaw changes regarding the technical liaison group, and those of you with a technical bent, I suggest have a look. We haven't confirmed but who's got holding the pen on that, but we may actually, if people are interested, have that. And finally, we are developing a statement on the policy and implementation working group. Alan Greenberg is holding the pen on that, and again, we're looking for comments. So I suggest that you all read all of those, and particularly the ATRT2. Now, Cheryl, if you want to have a quick word on revocation as well, just to explain to people what that issue is.
Happy to do so, Holly. Cheryl Langdon Orr for the Transcript Record. First of all, we need to recognise that because Renalia is holding the pen from the at-large advisory committee perspective, you could probably rest on her laurels and simply come in with a formal comment on the page for support of what is going to be her, I think she's up to a penultimate, if not ultimate, draft. I would encourage, however, because this is a matter of some interest to a number of the local internet communities in not just the emerging economies and small island states, but I'll point out that Australia is one of the countries that has had a revocation and redelegation. So you don't need to think that we're not interested in this at the edges, because we certainly are. There is an excellent webinar which is recorded, and the slide deck I have attached to not only the CCNSO liaison wiki page but also to the comments page, which is what your agenda will refer to. Please use that resource to actually take out to your edge communities. For example, I know some of our countries are particularly interested in what it means to have the difference between a delegation, a transfer, and a redelegation, and what revocation is. That work is done. It's good work. Renalia's comments, I think, will be able to reflect most of what you would be thinking anyway, but listen, some of the comments that are on the wiki page clearly indicate that the people who are making those comments do not understand. They have not listened to the webinar. I would encourage you to make your comments after you listen to the webinar. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Now, everybody should have a hard copy of the Memorandum of Understanding. I think Paul's taking his time getting up to the 24th floor. Hopefully he's not climbing the stairs. I suspect actually the meeting that was being held, which was forecast yesterday, about the one star is going on a bit long. This is something that... Thank you. This is... it's a very brief Memorandum of Understanding that we are proposing to have with APNIC. The title of it is really Collaboration and Mutual Support. Obviously, the two parties are us and APNIC. The agreement is basically, and as the statement says, recognise the benefits of mutual cooperation. It's anticipated each party will benefit from the complementary skills. The parties mutually agree. And some of these words are from MOUs that already exist to promote the infrastructure development and business in the region, agree to cooperate to promote internet standards, infrastructure development and services to encourage internet development in the, and we say, Asia-Pacific region, as we know that's a big region, maintain an open communication channel for the mutual development of both organisations, and Paul was going to be here, to collaborate to facilitate joint capacity building events and related activities of mutual interest from time to time, including meetings, training projects, workshops, research and development, and to collaborate and create awareness, promote both regional partnerships through outreach and fellowship programs on matters relating to internet identifiers, internet use, internet governance. There's one little word that's hidden in there, and it's one. There are a couple of things that APNIC does very well. They have terrific training programs, which are offered for free. You can, or you can have fellowships. So what Paul and APNIC are looking at is the possibility of, and I think either in continuing their training or enhancing their training programs to where it doesn't exist, offering fellowships for training purposes to enhance, I suppose, our mutual cooperation. So I'm sorry Paul's not here, but actually, Maureen, you've worked with Paul. Do you want to talk about the sort of MOU that you've got with APNIC?
Thank you, Holly. Maureen Hilliard for the record. Well, this is actually very similar to what PIC-ISOC has, the agreement that PIC-ISOC has with APNIC. We we use APNIC for our PAC-INETs, firstly, I mean, lots of reasons, but this is one of the main things. And they are very... very good at specifying the sorts of things, and working with the partner organisations to specify what their needs are, so that their training that they provide is actually very specific. And I was actually telling Holly this morning about Tonga, and how the government was so impressed with the liaison that had been done before our actual event in Tonga at our PAC-INET, that they allowed, they had, I think there was about 30 or 40 people in the actual training room. When they came on the first day, we thought, wow, our PAC-INET's really, really great, and found out that most of them were going to the APNIC training. But it was really good because it really looked at what their needs were, and the fact that the ministries actually allowed their staff to attend this week-long training session. And they were really impressed with the training that the staff received. So, I mean, that's just one of the things. But they also provide fellowships to attend technical training within the region. And there is that sort of thing, although it's not something that we're actually looking at specifically for AP Rallo, but if the fellowships, it's one of the reasons why we put fellowships in there, but at the same time, there are lots of things that APNIC does that we could totally take advantage of across the region. I think one of the things that Paul mentioned yesterday, of course, is that within the Asia region, there's another NIC. But at the same time, we sort of like thought it would be quite good to have an MOU with at least one of them, and because we're talking Asia Pacific, and they are Asia Pacific, that it might be appropriate for us.
Thank you, Maureen. I've got Sirini Shamai left, who would like to make a comment or a question, and then Cheryl.
It's not a question, it's just a comment. Sirana Shvardanyan for the record. My only concern is that APNIC, by covering Asia-Pacific, doesn't include our region, Armenia. So we need to make sure that this region is also included for the opportunities for training, fellowships, etc. Thank you.
Actually, that was a matter that Paul himself brought up and said there's going to have to be some cooperation between APNIC and the other NICs. As he said, we go all the way to the stands, is the way he put it. So that will have to be worked through, but certainly he was quite aware of the problem. Sorry.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks, Holly. Cheryl Langdonor again. Of course, what we need to recognise, and I'll pose a question in a minute, in fact, I might pose two, what we need to recognise is these are not exclusive documents in terms of there can only be one, there can be many. And what this can be seen as a precedent, it's an opportunity and perhaps even a template, one might suggest, once we do a few edits, to have something to take to other other Nicks, but might I look across the table, not just Nicks? Don't go out the window, Don. Come back to me, folks. Look at me. Look at me. There are other opportunities for training, and obviously CCTLD community across the area is one of those. At every ICANN meeting, of course, there is the CCNSO's technical training day. So we've all got to work in a mechanism of cooperation. Notice I didn't use the E word, of cooperation and working smarter, not harder. And I think it's also very important that we make sure that our regional vice presidents are kept appraised of these initiatives for two reasons, and I use the plural there. I'm quite sure the CUAC will be very pleased to not only see this as a good step forward for us as a component part, but he may be able to broker further of these deals, because this is a precedent if it shows any sort of return on investment. And I've said the plural because it may indeed be inspiration for inclusion in other regional strategies. And I think MOUs are great things, but they're not necessarily the only structure that we can find to cooperate. So I'd like to ask, is there anyone who actually disagrees or has an issue other than dotting I's, crossing T's, putting in commas, putting in hyphens, saying RALO as one ought to do when you've got it in a full name, regional at large organisation, RALO in black brackets belongs, and a dashing a little signed, dated by seals if appropriated and witnessed to the document, and just getting this through?
All that will happen as long as everyone's happy. Now we have to note that Renalia has also joined the meeting, and hopefully offline we'll have a briefing from what other meeting she's attended. We've got two other items, because I think Paul's probably been held up. One was an update. Well, first of all, I would have to say we did have on here planning for the Singapore meeting and showcase event. Well, the planning for the showcase event has already occurred over coffee, as I understand it, at 2 o'clock one afternoon, and I'm delighted that we've already got it all planned. So that ends that item. The other item, though, that needs to be planned for that is we were hoping to have another sort of multi-stakeholder forum in the format that we've done before, to talk about a particular issue, and that's still an item to be done. So that will take over for the next meeting. The final item, Cheryl is...
One comment on show Singapore. May I?
Just one comment related to Singapore prep work. I would like just to... really express my thankfulness and appreciation to Emani, Ali, and Maureen for coming up with, the team, and Pavan for being remotely but supporting with his real great intervention to this staff. And there are a couple of things which we will come back to all of you, and we are planning to do some kind of video, so all of us should be featured there. So we'll be back to you with all that. With all that stuff, and right. Of course we will need staff support in some prep work. So thank you.
For ladies, it's getting the lippy on.
Silvia Vivanco, for the record, I just wanted to thank you for organizing yourself so quickly and efficiently in just, I think, a few hours. The showcase is almost, the details, all of them, I've noted the action items for us. For staff, yes, and we will carry out our action items. We have several of them, and may I suggest that we have a conference call, probably as soon as we get back home in a week or so, to start organizing, the details. That's all. Thank you.
Please have a doodle for that.
We will have a doodle with Asian-friendly times. So no problem.
Excellent.
Leana Galistan, for the records. I just want to say that I'm ready to be involved in this group, this team, to help this showcase. Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, Maureen.
Just to remind everyone, I think Pavan's already got a meeting planned for Thursday the 28th. I think he sent a message out to everyone. So if we can all be there for him at that meeting, that would be great.
Thank you, Maureen. Holly, for the transcript records, just for a change. Cheryl was actually going to talk about the update on the rules of procedure, but she first wants to make a comment. And before that, we have a brochure in Hindi for us.
Wow.
So I am not taking these home, folks.
Thanks for that, Holly. And yes, I do hold the next part of the agenda, but I'm assuming that there is also some many other business to come after that. So I will be very brief. I just wanted to point out that with Singapore being the next ICANN meeting, and that being very much in, well, we shall say one of our hubs, because it is in so many ways one of our hubs now, that doing the ceremonial signing of memorandums of association, understanding, I should say, might be highly appropriate there. But there is enough time between now and Singapore, and I know I'm looking across the table lovingly and longingly again, to perhaps explore if there were any other understandings, relationships or statements about cooperative work. We could actually showcase not just the wonderful at-large structures, but some meaningful horizontal engagement. And I think that's something else that the Regional Vice President should be specifically involved in. There may be new business sponsorship, for example, for something. There's a bunch of stuff that we perhaps could look at. And if we've got a point in time where there is a promotional opportunity, even good corporate citizens like to get their 5 minutes of fame from doing it. So I just wanted to make that point. Do you want me to continue straight on to the next agenda item?
Take one deep breath. Does anybody want to ask any questions or make any comments? Otherwise, we're going to hear an update.
Yes, Holly, for the record.
Yes, Holly, for the record. YJ.
YJ, for the record, and I think so. We are talking about this APNIC MOU issues right now, right? So, as many of you know, this APNIC structure is quite different from other RIRs. Basically, the APNIC's membership is based on the CCTLD institutions. Many of them are the CCTLD registries, because a lot of those CCTLD registries in Asia region, they cover also this the IP address allocation issues. So maybe when you think about this collaboration between this at-large and APNIC, CCTLD is a very critical component of this the APNIC dynamics. So I think maybe we can, yes.
APNIC is here, and you don't have a choice.
Pablo, come to the table and Pablo. Welcome, but please be warned, be brief.
Yeah, we have a very strict 9 o'clock cutoff, but APNIC is here to talk about APNIC and what you do. And that was Holly for the record.
I think you all know what APNIC does, so I hope we don't need to introduce the whole lot. And I don't know if what was it exactly that you wanted to...
Just we've just talked about the MOU that we talked about yesterday, and what I said to Paul was, if you want to have a couple of words about the sort of training you do and the sort of programs you have that the membership here could benefit from.
Well, I think, as you know, the tradition is that we are very welcoming in terms of establishing partnerships, that we are very committed to capacity building in the region, that we have strong presence overall on those aspects, obviously in those that narrow down to our very specific realm, which is IP addresses, but that affects the whole internet in one way or another, and it also is cross-cutting. We have a pending welcoming sort of conversation with Don on possible collaboration with ccTLDs on IPv6, for example. And I think the same applies to AP Relo, and I think there are definitely strong intersections and things in common, and we would be very happy to explore that, put them in writing, and see and find where our interests can be supported. So happy for that, and I think we're working on it already, and
yes.
Perhaps we can sort of formalize that process.
Thank you very much for the very, very brief introduction to AP Relo. We've got about 1 minute, possibly two, five.
Okay.
Cheryl, you've got three.
Thank you, Holly. It's Cheryl.
And then I've got one. Thanks, Holly, for the transcript records.
I was going to say thank you, Holly. At least they could backbuild it from that. Thank you, Holly. This is Cheryl for the transcript record. There is a point in the agenda which I'm going to take less than 3 minutes to deal with, because what I want to simply do is draw your attention to the work being done on the revitalisation, review, refreshment and possible rewriting of our operational procedures within the region. You have a small but active subcommittee working on your behalf. I want you to look to Maureen and note that the work she's doing in the ALAC metrics subcommittee is in some way also reflected in the work she's going to be bringing to our regional one, and that's making sure that the at-large structures are constantly updated and are aware of what strawman proposals and things we're making. But Ganella and Ali have put together some of our framework work. KT, who many of you know and love and respect as a previous chair of the RALO, has gone through and is looking at some rough documentation of how we can take what we believe we need to continue as is from our existing rules into a new format and add to that format additional things such as form of proxy and a couple of other things that will be coming forward to you. The warning here is we want to have sign-off and adoption of these rules at the Singapore meeting. We realise this is a difficult time over a particular time of year where many of your at-large structures are very busy with home or celebratory parts of their life, but we would like you to watch the space and come in behind it. Make your comments as we go, because very shortly before Singapore, we will actually be asking for sign-off. So the timing is between now and a month prior to Singapore, so think February, March, where you need to be comfortable that these newly proposed and revitalised rules will be able to be adopted at the Singapore meeting. So that's it from me on that, and at which point I would like to hand back to you for the very important matter of any other business, and I stand here as the Queen of Procedure to assist.
Before that particular any other business, I'd like to say we need volunteers for the spotlight for the next meeting. We've already had Satish, thank you very much. We've had Ali, thank you very much. We've had Sirinush. So please put your hands up. We'd like to hear about your organisation. And we, the executive team, will pick within 2 weeks if we don't hear from somebody putting their hand up. So Imani could talk. Renalia could talk. Edmund could talk. You know, we can go right down. So which one of you is putting your hand up first?
We've got 3 minutes.
I leave you with it, but I do expect to hear it. The, the other area of business?
Yanis.
Yanis. There you are.
Yay.
Yanis is the next. The other is that I have been nominated for and accepted a position on the actual at-large leadership team, which means I have not only too much to do, but way too much to do. And with that, what I have done is I've said to Sirenush, I want her to be chair. And she's very stupidly said yes. I am not walking away. I will still sit next to her, probably hit her in the ribs if she doesn't do the right thing. But for all intents and purposes, she's your new acting chair. And I say acting because we don't want to hold an election now and then hold an election in a few months' time. So it's a way of saying... And Cheryl, who's the queen of the rules, is going to explain all because she explained it to me, but I don't dare explain it back to her.
Thank you, Holly. Cheryl, for the transcript record, and you are a wise woman indeed. What we are doing is causing a casual vacancy. Holly has recognised that in stepping up to the leadership role, she does not want to appear to have too many leadership roles in the line. She still serves ex officio on the leadership of the AP RALO because of her role in the regional representation to the ALAC anywhere. But what we have are two vice chairs and one willing and able, both communication and time allocation wise, to do what vice chairs are there for, which is to do the job of the chair when the chair is unable to. This will mean that we will have a by-election, for the want of a better word, closer to the required time, which I will remind you under our existing operational procedures has to be settled by June in any calendar year. Right? It may suit us to do a call for and election selection of a replacement chair in the first 2 months to 3 months of next year. And again, it is one of those times that we could have a full, frank, and perhaps even definitive discussion during Singapore, which would allow people to actually present to the group in a meeting like this why they would be an ideal chair of AP RALO. And I will remind you that we also need to run an election for the second vice chair by June next year because they are rotational. So we do not have a power vacuum. We have a casual vacancy, and in the situation of a casual vacancy, we have two vice chairs, one of which has been asked, has the ability, has the time, is connected telecommunications wise, and has accepted to do that role. Is there any objections to that?
I dare you.
Thank you very much, and congratulations, Sirenush. I think the chair is now yours.
May I? Just last word. Sirenush Vardanyan, for the record, just would like to thank you all and would like to highlight that I can't do anything without your support. So I hope all of you will be there and all of you will be supporting this process for the whole region. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Salanieta Tamanikamura for the transcripts. I'm not sure what time it is for those who are streaming in the remote participation, but warm greetings from Buenos Aires. As the outgoing, one of the outgoing ALEC members, and noting that this is the last official AP RALO meeting in my capacity as an ALEC member, I would like to formally first of all, thank the AP RALO executives, current AP RALO executives, and also former AP RALO executives who are not currently present. Thank you for your trust and your faith in putting us into these positions. And this past 2 years have not been an easy one, and it's been an incredibly difficult time, particularly for someone who was outside the ICANN community coming in, having to learn the mechanics and participate and going back to the edges and to the fringes. I'd also like to take this time to thank Cheryl Langdonor for actually, you know, telling me when I was outside the ICANN community for reaching out and saying, would you be interested, Salah, come and play? And I must say, it has given me an incredible appreciation for the excellent work that's done within the community. And yes, and I have great appreciation for the hard work that you all play. And this is just my final thank you officially. And this is, I will not escape, Cheryl. You have my word. But I will say in my native tongue, Vinakavakalevu and Nisa Mode.
Just very brief, Siranush Vardanyan, for the record, I would like also to thank Salah for the great job she did during this last 2 years, and I will also would like to welcome Raf to that new position. So, welcome to this family.
Ah, so... For those online, we now get sweets. So virtually go and enjoy something sweet because we've been rewarded. Thank you, sir.
I object to the lollies. He's buying votes.